You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ding, ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Mo Dekeel for your Tuesday morning update. Before we start, don't forget, if you haven't already subscribed, you can get this podcast ad-free along with all the great writing that we do over at The Athletic by going to theathletic.com/NBA show. A lot of stuff to do, so we're going to really jump right in. Hornets Bucks. The opening night, or the opening game of the night, Mo. And this was a fun one. Charlotte picks up another win over the Bucks. I don't know how they do it.
It's they just play so hard, Dave. No, no, it was kind of a weird game in the sense of it had a very strong feel of a pickup game for the most part of it, you know, and not a lot of organization, not a lot of pretty offense or anything like that. And it just kind of turns into a battle down the stretch in the last couple of minutes. And it's a little bit weird when you're saying, wow, the Charlotte Hornets sort of just out executed the Milwaukee Bucks, but that's kind of what happened down the stretch in the last couple of minutes. There were a few plays that went the Bucks' way to make it interesting, but the big thing was LaMelo Ball's second half. You know, he's 2-for-10 in the first half, finishes, he goes in the second half going 6-9, right? I think that was kind of the big difference for the Hornets, and it didn't feel like the Bucks really had an answer for him.
That's right. The Hornets came out after halftime. They had a 36-point third quarter, led by LaMelo. He had 16 points in the quarter, and Charlotte had a 9-point lead going into the fourth. But this is the Hornets, and you saying that little line about pickup was funny because I texted you. I was like, hey, we should talk about this brick fest to start the fourth quarter.
Right.
Both teams basically just going back and forth for the first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, jacking up jump shots. It was awful, and I get why people say there are too many threes. The difference, Mo, is they're jacking up threes instead of 16-footers. I mean, it's really the only difference, but it was disorganized. Down the stretch, we got to talk about this because, you know, we focus so much on end of games, Mo, and I thought that there were some examples of good decision-making down the stretch and poor decision-making down the stretch. Worst-case scenario happened for the Hornets. They were up 4. Giannis gets a layup and one. And it was confirmed by the replay. Giannis misses the free throw. Wes Matthews out-hustles the Hornets and gets the putback. So, well, tie game.
Even before that, Bobby Portis beats two Hornets to the ball and nearly tips it in, keeps the ball alive, and that let Matthews get the tip in. And that was kind of just the big play there. So, I mean, Matthews staying with it, but it started with Portis, you know, and he's on the side where they have two guys on him, and he manages to get his hand on the ball. So that was a big one right there.
Yeah, and then they come back down to the other end. LaMelo isolates on the wing, and he gets into the lane, Mo. And I was wondering on the replay, where was the help? But I don't know how you could help on that. He hits this floater kind of like twisting to his right with two hands, and he hits that, puts him up two. And, yeah, where was the help, Mo?
No, it's hard because that's just in a position where there isn't any help, and you got to try to just sort of stay solid. You're not going to leave, you know, Gordon Hayward. You're not going to leave Terry Rozier in those instances, right? And that's kind of the two guys that were closest, if I remember correctly off the top of my head. But the thing was, you know, Wesley Matthews just can't get beat that badly. Like, that's kind of the big thing. It was, yo, you can't lose your matchup that badly. If you're gonna lose it, You got to force him all the way into the paint because that's where your help is if you're the Bucks, because they're very big on rim protecting. And let's not also sleep on this, Dave. That was a hell of a shot from LaMelo. It wasn't an easy one. It was a little bit of a runner at the free throw line. Like, not all that easy.
It was also the first shot he had hit in the quarter, right? So he had that great third, and then this was the first bucket he hit to give him the lead there. And Milwaukee was smart, man. They grabbed the ball out of the net, and they tried to get up court. Chris Middleton almost traveled, and they wound up taking a timeout with about 8 seconds to go. Now, Mo, we talk about this all the time. Sideline out of bounds. What did they run?
I mean, I think they tried to just run a clear out, you know, for get ball, the ball to Giannis at the top and let him drive. But, you know, this is something that the Hornets did really well all game, Dave, was they did a great job just showing a ton of help towards Giannis all night long. And, you know, when they came over to show help, it forced Giannis to kick it out to Connaughton in the corner, and it was just a wild pass. And from that, Connaughton tries to save it, throws it to Wesley Matthews. The ball ends up going out of bounds. They never really had a chance on this play, but that was good defense from the Hornets and sort of just crowding the paint and like, yo, Giannis is not beating us at the rim.
Yeah, the Hornets were 11-11 in games that qualify for clutch stats, according to the NBA. And, you know, this game felt like a toss-up for them down the stretch, but this is what young, talented teams do. They're able to hit that ceiling sometimes, and it looks great. But when they come crashing down to earth, that's when you throw up bricks for half a quarter.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In Boston, Jaylen Brown with 26 points. Jason Tatum had 24 as the Celtics beat the Pacers 101-98 in overtime. Mo, the story of this game, really, Jason Tatum just kept hitting big shots.
Yeah, I mean, he hits the Celtics down, you know, the final seconds of regulation. He hits a big baseline, you know, like sidestep jumper to tie the game. And then the Celtics come down the other way. And with a great defensive play from Josh Richardson, you know, with a great closeout, forcing Holiday to have to kind of double pump on his three-point attempt, you know, forces overtime. And then just from there, the it was still close, but the Celtics were just able to hold on with just quality play from, like, role players.
Yeah, Robert Williams had 14 points, 12 rebounds. And to me, Mo, the two biggest plays made in overtime were made by Rob Williams. He had that fantastic block. And you know what we always say, good defense turns into good offense. Jaylen Brown gets the rebound, gets the Celtics out in transition, hits Josh Richardson with a pass, and then relocates, and he does the thing that you've been waiting for the Celtics to do. Makes the extra pass to the corner, Mo, finds Grant Williams, puts him up five with a minute 50 left. I basically thought that was it, but that's the sort of stuff you've been looking for out of this Celtics team.
That's the stuff I've been screaming about, you know, just making that extra pass, and I think it's gone a long way there, and I think it's all interesting. And one more thing that's positive about this was a game, Jaylen Brown, 6 assists, 0 turnovers. You know, like, there was some ball movement there. On the flip side, Jason Tatum, 4 assists, 8 turnovers. Not quite the ratio you want there, but positive stuff there. It's a little bit better. I mean, you know, we know after every loss, Celtics fans are looking for Udoka's head. And I think, you know, sometimes that's rather unfair here. But this was a nice little win for the Celtics. I know it's the Pacers. I know they're struggling. They're not a great record, you know, and all of that stuff. But this, they're still kind of scrappy. And I think you got to kind of give the Celtics a little bit of credit for hanging in there, you know, and pulling up some big plays down the stretch and not being totally reliant on the Jays. You know, you touched on it. You know, Williams with the big block, Grant Williams with the big three. I mean, there's a little more going on there that they can – those guys got to start trusting those other guys a little bit to help them out.
Yeah, and it wasn't all just easy going for the Celtics to close this thing out. I mean, it got ridiculous. This is the Celtics. Indiana – got a quick two. Tatum turns the ball over, and then up four, the Celtics fouled a shooter on a three. I mean, so, you know, with 3 seconds left. So it was still messy, but there were some positive signals here for the Celtics. But the biggest takeaway for me is that Rob Williams can make plays for you defensively that just nobody else on this roster can. And so keeping him out there in these sorts of situations, to me, just makes so much sense. You got to trust Rob Williams.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
In Portland, Anfernee Simons had 23 points and 11 assists for the shorthanded Portland Trailblazers, who beat the Nets 114-108. I dare say, disappointing loss for the Nets, Mo. This is Kyrie Irving's second game back. I want to start with the Nets because, you know, they're the team we have expectations for. Big time bummer loss for them.
Yeah, but also a weird scheduling quirk here because this game was originally postponed and they had to kind of reschedule it. So just so everybody knows, they played San Antonio in Brooklyn yesterday, and it was an early start game. It was a 12:30 Brooklyn time game, and then playing the second night of the back-to-back in Portland. That never happens, right? Like, that's not how the NBA will even schedule it. You're not even supposed to fly over that many time zones in a back-to-back situation, so this is tough. And KD, that game went to overtime against the Spurs. KD played 43 minutes in that game. KD played 42 minutes in this one, you know, so very challenging for the Nets just on the energy level. And then they lose Claxton to a sore hamstring midway through the third quarter, I think it was. You know, it becomes a situation where, like, you're just running out of bodies and not because of protocols. Like, you guys are just not really that healthy, I think, and you're running into some of these issues here. You know, they had to play De'Ron Sharp 24 minutes a rookie, and they were playing him down the stretch, you know, and the lack of a big is really beginning to show even more for the Nets. You know, they gave up 11 offensive rebounds, but it felt like they never, even when they got a defensive rebound, it never felt like a clean one. Felt like a Portland Trailblazer got a hand on it, almost had a chance at it, but they found a way to scoop it up. But it just never felt clean in that end.
Yeah, I think actually De'Ron Sharp, he's in my notes here, as a bright spot for them. 14 points, 6 of 6 from the field, had 7 rebounds. Thought he showed great energy. I actually liked his passing. He had a couple of assists, but he made some reads, I thought, in transition that were a little bit surprising. My question here is, Bruce Brown just isn't playing. You know, what's going on with that? I know we're not going to figure that answer out here, but it just stands out to me that you have Anfernee Simons having a game like this, and it's not like Portland has a bevy of options to choose from. You'd think that you could put Bruce Brown out there and shut him down. But let's switch over to Portland, because Anfernee Simons has been on a nice little run. Last 10 games, coming into this one, he averaged like 17 points a game. Been the number one option for a little over a week. Dame is out and maybe out for a long time. We're not sure yet. CJ's still out after the collapsed lung, and now with his child coming. And so Anfernee Simons running the show, and plain and simple, he's been showing off, Mo.
Yeah, I mean, I'll raise you your 10 games, and just looking at the 4 games going into this one, not counting the games from the Brooklyn game, their last 4 games before this, 29 points, shooting 54% from the field, 51.1% from 3, with 11 3-point attempts, Dave. 11. That's a lot. That's not a small number, folks. That's insane. Averaging 6.8 assists and 2.8 turnovers. Like, that's impressive numbers from him, you know, and that's kind of the stuff you want to see from a guy that's been in your system. He's a fourth-year guard at this point. There was a lot of hype around him last year, didn't really pan out, but this year it's really beginning to show, and I think that's exciting for Portland because this has not been a year where there's been a lot of excitement.
Yeah, not at all, and they got some good production from the rest of the lineup. Ben McLemore and Robert Covington both hit 5 threes in this game. Nasir Little had a nice game. Nurkic looked pretty good, threw some really nice passes out there, facilitating the offense for them. So, hey, man, this is a nice little bright spot for Portland. That's going to do it for the show, folks. Don't forget, we got tampering coming up next right here on the Athletic NBA Show, so stay tuned for that. For Mo, I'm Dave, wishing you guys a great rest of your week. Mo, let's get out of here.
Ding, ding.